morning we have the privilege of having Andrew and Elisa Taywin, missionaries to Greece, with us. As a church, we've supported for the Taywins for 25 years or so, maybe a little more, as they have been serving the Albanian church. They're there in Greece serving an Albanian church, and they also serve as regional directors of the part of Europe that they oversee there. They also have four children, all grown and pursuing different areas of their life. Three of them are married, and we do need to be remembering to pray for Andrew and his family, as his father passed away just a week or so ago, and they just returned to the States from seeing family and celebrating his father's life there. So they've had a whirlwind of a year, a lot of different things going on, a lot of big life changes, but the Lord has been very gracious to them. I'm thankful for their kind and loving spirit. It's always good to see them and talk with them. We're so thankful to have them with us. This morning, those of you who don't know, Elisa is the twin sister of Leanne Harvey, so if you think you're seeing double this morning, you are, alright, so don't be alarmed by that. But Andrew and Elisa, if you would come and share with us this morning.
Good morning. I appreciated James reading out of Psalm 57 this morning, just the focus on singing the Lord's praise among the nations. And one of my psalms that I've been focusing on this year is out of Psalm 9, verse 1 and 2. And the first part of it says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, and I will recount all your wonderful deeds. And that's been a real encouragement to me and to us this year, and we want to just share some of the Lord's wonderful deeds and recount them with you and how you've been a part of that.
Yeah, we want to emphasize that we're partners with you in this mission of reaching the nations with the gospel. And so we're going to be sharing a little bit about what that looks like for us. We do want you to know that we are with the mission organization Pioneers. And Pioneers has as its mission statement to glorify, to mobilize teams to glorify God among unreached peoples by initiating church planting movements in partnership with local churches. That's a real mouthful, and it might not mean a whole lot to you as you hear that. What we want to emphasize is that it essentially means being a witness. And Acts 1:8 says very clearly, you shall be my witnesses. And for us, part of what that means is, what is a witness? A witness is someone who tells what they have seen, who shares what they have heard, and says, this is my testimony. And so I love what the Apostle John says in his first letter. He says, that which was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have looked upon, what we have touched with our own hands, that's what we proclaim to you. And so maybe this mission statement sounds very complicated and distant, but what the Lord is calling each one of us is to be a witness. So that's partly, what is my relationship with the Lord Jesus, and how am I sharing that with others and say, come along and discover who Jesus is with me. There's a survey that was held a few years ago, and it's a little bit shocking and astonishing. I don't know if you can see it from where you are, but in the United States, when people were asked, have you ever heard of the Great Commission, more than half of the people said, I've never heard of it. I would like to take the time to do that here, but we're not going to do that this morning. But in short, only 17% of American evangelical believers could actually answer the question, yes, I've heard of the Great Commission, and I actually know what it means. I'd like to add another question to that, to say, well, what are you doing about it? It's one thing to know what it means, to have heard about it, but how are you investing in the eternal kingdom of God?
A lot of people think about missions as, I need to pack my bags and move to Africa and eat funny worms. Thankfully, God did not call me to do that. I have eaten a few funny things, but not in Africa. But missions is so much more than that, as we, you know, were just saying. And that 17%, we feel like you guys represent some of the 17% of people who are actively involved in the Great Commission. We've experienced that through your support, through your prayers, but also just the local ministries that you're supporting here in Princeton. And when I think about the nations that God is shifting and moving around the world, you know, just being here this weekend and also listening to Leanne and Bill and your church and your involvement in that, thank you for being a part of that 17% that recognizes God might not have called me to Africa or to Europe or to the Albanian people in Greece, but he's called me into actively being a part of missions. And we want to thank you for living that out and blessing us with that involvement.
So the corner of the world that the Lord has called us to is Europe. And so we are pioneers in Europe, mobilizing teams to church plant across Europe. You probably can tell by my accent that I'm not from West Virginia. And I once met an American in near the Acropolis in Athens, and he was looking for the directions, and I started a conversation with him, pointed him in the right direction, and I said, "Where are you from?" And he said, "I'm from Tennessee, and our home base in the States is from Tennessee." So I thought, here's the connecting point. And I said, "Well, I'm from Tennessee too." And he looked at me like, "No, you're a big liar." So, but we live and serve in Europe, and in case you're wondering where that is, here's a map to help you focus on that. And our corner is in the south east of Europe and in Greece, where we live in Athens. There's a great little anecdote about what Greeks think about their country, and I was reminded of that as I saw the flags parading in, and we're proud to be Americans. The Greeks are proud to be Greeks, but I was thinking it's even better, we're even more proud to be citizens of God's eternal kingdom and to share that with a worldwide family. So the Greeks have this story that when God was creating the world, he was partitioning the different countries and people groups, saying, "You're going to live here, Americans in this part, and Peruvians in Peru, and Australians there." And he was finished and was sitting back to relax, and the Greeks came to him and said, "But you forgot us. Where are we going to live?" And then so God thought for a moment and said, "Well, I'll actually give you the part of land that I was going to keep for myself, the most beautiful part of the world. But on one condition, you're going to have hostile neighbors and terrible neighbors on every side." And so that's a little bit of the reality with Albanians and Macedonians and Bulgarians and Turks on all the sides of Greece. They have terrible relationships, but they think it's the most beautiful country in the world.
There's a picture of downtown Athens, and it's just always a reminder of us of just the masses of people. It's about 6 million people that live in this city alone. And but yet God is calling and seeking out the individual. And you'll see later in a video that we're going to show that that even though he sees the masses, he's working in the hearts of individuals in this city to bring them to himself.
Greece has been inundated with floods and fires in recent years and months, and maybe you've heard some of that in the news. This picture was taken just in August, a few weeks ago, and it was about half an hour away from where we live, over the Temple of Poseidon in Sunio, just south of Athens. But it reminds us, this beautiful picture, of the verses in Joel chapter 2, where it says, "The sun will be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And this just image reminded us of, it's a time to pray for Greece. It's a time to pray for the nations around us. Say, "God, you are doing something in our day. You are doing something in our age. Do great things again. And how can we be part of this?"
And one way for us is through the Albanian church in downtown Athens. And they're like family to us. sometimes we feel like we're a part of a little New Testament church, the way they interact with each other and just really find community with each other. But the beautiful thing is that God is giving them a vision for the nations and for the people around them in Athens. And you'll see that we're getting ready to show a video. But we want to say that they, in their outward look of not just on themselves, they realize that there's people all over the world today worshiping, and they send their greetings to you. And they also want to say thank you for the prayers that you give on their behalf and for the work that God's doing in their hearts and among them.
Did you want to mention the conference?
I know this weekend you had a women's conference. They just recently this month also had a family conference, and I'm not sure how many attended, but I know many of you women this week were blessed by that, and so they too also find ways and means to get together and be encouraged in the Word and in their walk of faith.
So we'd like to show a small video about our work with the Albanian church, and it speaks for itself.
Favorite places. I just think of Paul, who stood here saying to the Athenians and foreigners, I want to proclaim to you who the living God is.
And we're surrounded by all kinds of symbols of religion. There are churches and shrines and altars and historic places, but people don't know Jesus. And this is the very spot where Paul talked about the resurrection of Jesus, and that is life-changing and world-changing, and that's the news that's still being proclaimed, even through our little Albanian church just at the foot of the Acropolis here.
Yeah. For me, before I came here, it was a dream for me to have something, because in Athens, you know, there are many Albanians. Because we are very near. It's a dream that came true, and it's what God wants. And it's an open door to know the Lord, Albanian special, in their language, that God loves them. So it's amazing work.
I came here 2 years ago, and when I came here, I experienced love and compassion, because each one of us has problems. My life, I had a lot. I felt like home. Because I feel all them like my family.
So we're the first generation of believers here in Greece from Albania, and we're the first Albanian believers of our generation. That's beautiful to me. Most of us came here seeking a better life in Greece, just a more prosperous life, but what we found was that our life with Christ was much more beautiful and more meaningful than we had expected. I feel like this church is literally my own family. The relationships we have together, we're close to each other in good times, in difficult times. I've experienced a difficult and very sad time in my life personally. My mother passed away in this loss and grief that I've experienced. My brothers and sisters have remained so close to me. But apart from their physical presence around me, I've also sensed their love to me. So we're not talking about the theoretical faith that we just discussed, but about the faith that we experience and live out.
So I've spent all my adolescent years in church, and I wouldn't change it for anything. I feel a blessing, because we're all together worshiping one Lord. We're all here with one purpose. This is my home. This is my second home.
It's a place that I come with my friends, I have fun, and I learn about God. Especially for a teenager, it's very helpful.
We can discuss things that we can't with other people. And it's great to be able to talk about Jesus with your friends and to talk about Him together. We study together and eat together and play games and sports together and sometimes organize excursions and outreaches. We have a great time. We're not just friends, but we're almost like a family here. And I think that unites us together and God's working in our hearts. Since we've had our own Albanian language church, we sense the huge responsibility of leading other people to the Lord and also helping them to grow in their life of faith. I had heard about God from a distance and about church, but I had never been interested to go to church or the mosque or anything like that because we grew up under a strict atheist regime for many, many years. But one day my wife went, Elisabetta went as the first of us to church. Elisabetta said to me, "So when are you coming?" And I said, "When I find time, one day I'll come." I went to church for the first time and I was amazed because it was something I had never experienced before or couldn't imagine. So after two or three meetings, I really started enjoying going and learning about Jesus and following the services. God brought so much into my life through the fellowship of people, and needs were met, and my spiritual life was growing. God was working things out for good in my life, in my family, in my marriage, in my work, and things I hadn't learned before. I found a rest and a quietness in my life that I hadn't experienced before, and I knew that these came from God. My relationship with my wife changed, with my kids changed, and my relationship with others around me changed. I'm convinced that God is the one who brings about this kind of change in our lives, and I know it's that He will be glorified in us. He gave me a deep spiritual peace and life eternal, and I'm so grateful to God for this. There's an amazing love in our family, in our community of believers, but we don't want that love to stay in the inner walls. We want it to go outside to share with other people.
This is why we're here, to continue to proclaim that God is living.
Yeah, the sun's about to set and another day is ending. It's still a day of salvation, and that's what makes us excited about the work that we're doing, is God is still offering people a chance to be saved and to come to know Him in a personal relationship. The Albanian church started on Easter Sunday 7 years ago, and we celebrated the resurrection by a new church plant in Athens through the work of all of our partners and Bob and Janice's groundwork and the Albanian leaders and prayer partners and fellow servants, and the influence of the Albanian church is even spreading to the islands and going back to Albania and to Italy and to Germany and to Belgium and other parts of Greece. God is awesome.
It's hard to try to summarize in just a few minutes what's been going on in the several years, but there's a little glimpse for you of what's happening in Greece. Our role has also changed in recent years, that we have been asked to be regional leaders for Pioneers for the region of Europe South, which is from basically Portugal in the west all the way over to Moldova in the east and everything south of that. So as you can see on the map, it's actually broken up into six areas, and in those areas there are teams that are doing church planting work in partnership with local churches. If they exist, they're planting new churches where they don't exist. And so we have the oversight of these six area leaders and essentially around 55 teams and about 250 workers. So as you can imagine, it's a huge responsibility, and we really covet your prayers for wisdom and discernment in that. Just to give you a rough idea, there are about 150 million people living in this part of the world. So a huge need for people to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
And last, this is a picture of our family. Our family has grown. We tell people now we have 7 kids because 3 of our children have married, and God's brought 3 more children and kids into our lives, and we just feel really blessed. As James said earlier, they're kind of spread out from Denver, Colorado to England to Cambridge in the UK. And so family reunions are kind of hard. But we're just grateful to see how the Lord's working in their lives and just their own desire to say, Lord, how do you want us to proclaim your name with where you have us? And so, again, we thank you for being a part of what God's doing in and through us and just being on our team. And we appreciate you guys.
Yeah, one of the themes in our own life is God's generational faithfulness. And it's beautiful to see different generations here gathered this morning. For the Albanian church, the adults are the first generation believers. So they're passionate about seeing their parents come to know the Lord. And they're also passionate about seeing their children raised up in the faith so that they'll follow the Lord Jesus. And for us, we have parents who are strong believers and led us in the way of the Lord. And our desire is for our children to take the baton and pass it on to their generation and on to the next, so that God's faithfulness will continue for 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commands. So if you're here as a grandparent, as a parent, as a single person, as a teenager, as a youth, there's work to be done, and God's got a calling for each one of us. And it's a wonderful way to invest in eternal kingdom values. We will be in the lobby after the service, and we'd love to talk with you, to share more about if you have any questions. We have a newsletter and a prayer guide that we try to send out monthly, so please stop by and talk to us. But thank you again, and God bless you.
This morning, we also have the privilege of having Richard Brett with us as he serves as the Executive Director of Tender Mercies, the local food bank here in Princeton. He has been in that role for a little bit, and we really enjoyed getting to know him better last night as with the missions committee, and getting to know about his heart and the role they play there to help serve the different needs of our community. So I know you'll be blessed and encouraged to hear from him, so please come and share with us this morning, Mr. Richard.
Thanks, everybody. I appreciate the opportunity to come speak to you today. As Director of Executive Director of Tender Mercies, I can tell you we have one of the strongest networks of donors. I'm talking churches, this church, area churches, businesses, individuals, that I would put it up against anything. It's just phenomenal. Tender Mercies has been in existence since 1986. Mr. and Mrs. Christie was the one who founded the pantry, and it's evolved ever since. I can tell you, so you're asking, probably said, I think, why are you here today? Well, there are some shifts that we've seen that in the community as much. Anybody that's been in the grocery store, you've seen the prices, the commodities. We're no different. We pay those prices to get food to give to the needy as well. Those prices plus an influx of or an increase in the community needing help. In October, we served over 800 homes, over 2,100 individuals that were in those 800 homes. So it's just... It's a growing and a glaring increase that, as director, I cannot, just sit there and look at it and not do anything. So it's rare for me to speak in public like this. I have some friends in here and they will tell you, they can't believe that I'll be standing up here doing this to you today. I can't either. But I told my wife, at least I don't have to sing for you. So, to go forward, a couple of things also, other than the increase, is the homeless. You know, we have a homeless community in Princeton that Tender Mercies. This is new to Tender Mercies. When we first received a homeless person to give food, and who would need more food than a homeless person, correct? You know, one thing, they don't have proof of ID, most of them. Don't have an address. So how do we sign them in their system? Well, the local agencies, we decided to do, we work with them. We use their address. We'll use the name. We'll put it'll be in there. And they're available as everybody else to come and get food every other week. And it's an ever-growing problem, but it's something that was kind of hidden for years. You know, homeless is not new. There's been homeless in the community for a while. It's just nobody's ever tapped into it. And when you think of homeless, that's a whole new type of food. You can't give them food to be prepared. They have nothing to prepare it for. It needs to be ready to eat. So it's a whole separate buying segment to purchase to feed a homeless community. And so we're adjusting to that as well. And I'm going to give you just a little parallel for myself. I was saved and baptized later in life than usual. Me and my brother, I had a brother. We were raised in Richmond, Virginia, and we were transferred up here. My dad worked in construction. My mom had a third grade education, and my dad had a fifth grade education. Most of my life, I'd be ashamed to even expose that. I kept it to myself. But I can tell you one thing that Tender Mercies has taught me, and through my spiritual growth there, is that those two people in my life, in my brother's life, were instrumental. Every Sunday, there was no option. You went to church. It was a Baptist church, Bainbridge Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia. And one of the memories I have of it is my dad. Every time we'd go, he would go to sleep. Every time he'd go to sleep. So I was appointed, I guess, as the oldest to ask the question why we would have to go every Sunday to watch him take a nap. Well, I never got the answer, and I never ask it again, I'll tell you that. And it's, you know, if you ask me who the greatest person that I've ever met, I would point you to my parents. How in the world that they raised two young men with an education such as they had. It's just we never had everything we wanted, but we got everything we needed to get through, and we did, and it was phenomenal. So, at Tender Mercies, when I walk into the pantry and I see these families coming in, I can see my mom and dad standing in that line, and so, you know, those people that are standing in that line could be somebody's hero. And that's the way we need to treat them. I've had before people talk about the car somebody brings up. Maybe they're driving a Cadillac or something. Why are they driving a Cadillac to come get food? They may have borrowed that car. Somebody may have brought them there. I just don't tolerate that. We treat everybody the same. And there's two little ladies, I won't mention their name, but they're golden, I'll tell you. Every time they come, both of them will give us a $2 check. And that $2 check is the most wonderful offering that I think we receive. Because in 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And they are. It's what they can spare. And that's exactly what, you know, what we're asking for. And I love those ladies to death. It's what they do is phenomenal. I told you I was saved and baptized later in life. I would categorize my growth in religion as probably in this toddler stage. I can be clumsy with it, but I learn from it. And as a person, for years, I've been a devoted introvert. The friends that I have here will tell you it's phenomenal that I'm standing up here and talking to you. What we do at Tender Mercies makes this all worthwhile. If it helps them, if it helps the people that come through that door, I'll sit up here with little greasy hands, sweaty palms, and stuttering to you. Also in Hebrews 13:16 says, "Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." And it pleases to God for us to do what is possible. And that's all we're asking. It's like the $2 offering. What is possible? That's all we could ask for. I will close with that. And I want to thank everyone here for listening to me. By all means, if you ever want to come visit what we do there, we're open Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We do take lunch from 12 to 1. Be glad to show you what we do, and we'd be glad to see you. So, thank you very much.
It's been a good morning of hearing from our missionaries. And just to wrap up with a few reminders of some different things that we can be reminded to pray for this morning. I do pray for Tender Mercies. I pray for Mr. Richard. He and his leadership team and the volunteers that come and help serve our community there. I appreciate those verses that he shared about how we are to give. We realize how poor we are, whether spiritually or even in terms of means. We realize what Christ gave to us, that He gave His life for us. He gave everything to us. And that should motivate us with a desire to give as God has blessed us back to those in need around us in our community. So continue to pray for the increase in number of people in our community that are needing to be helped. I do be praying for the increase in the number of the homeless here in our community that are also needing help. And continue to pray and consider how God would have you to give or volunteer or to bring food there to Tender Mercies to help them in that ministry. Then as we think about what the Taywins shared with us, let's continue to remember to pray for the Albanian church. I don't know about you guys, but that video was just really encouraging. And I heard over and over again in that video how they were like family. And that's what we are to be as the body of Christ, is we are to be a family. So pray for that family, that body of believers there, as they seek to continue to be faithful, to worship the Lord. And then Andrew shared, they're reaching out to the nations. They're reaching out to other Albanians spread out throughout Europe and throughout the world there. Continue to pray for them as they give and they serve and they send people even out from their church to go and to share the gospel. Continue to pray for Philip and Nathaniel, Susanna and Esther as they all are pursuing their different areas and things in life. And continue to pray for them as they are the regional leaders there for Europe South with the pioneers. Pray for the responsibilities they have as they care for missionaries, help missionaries, do many different things. As you can tell, it's a huge responsibility that they seek to do to the best of their ability. So I know this morning I've been encouraged and blessed to hear about that. And as Andrew was wrapping up, he shared about God's generational faithfulness and passing on the baton. And so this morning, you know, perhaps God is working in your heart to be more serious about praying for missions, be more serious about investing in the life of our missionaries and ministries around our area, such as Tender Mercies. Perhaps the Lord is stirring in your heart for you to consider to go into missions. Please come see Pastor Dan, Pastor Jim, myself, Pastor Jason, Pastor Paul. We'd love to talk with you guys and pray with you as you seek to be obedient to what the Lord is laying on your heart. And let's pray as a church that God would raise up missionaries from our church to go to the nations to make the gospel known, to fulfill that great commission. And so some of us need to go, some of us need to give, some of us need to pray. Well, we all need to give, we all need to pray, but let's consider what the Lord would have us to do as we think about that this morning. So I'd like to take a moment to pray for our missionaries, and I'll turn it over to Paul to lead us in a song of worship. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, we thank you for Mr. Richard. We thank you for his leadership there at Tender Mercies. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to bless him and the volunteers and the ministry there as they seek to serve the needs of those who find themselves in places where they need help getting food. We pray for the homeless of our community, Lord, many who are there for various different reasons that we oftentimes don't know about. Lord, may we have love and compassion for them. Lord, may we not ignore the needs there, but may we have a desire to serve those needs and to come alongside those people. Lord, we do thank you for Andrew and Lisa. Lord, thank you for them, for their family. We thank you that their kids are all doing well and continuing to look for ways to serve you where you have placed them. And Father, we do pray for their ministry there with the Albanian church in Greece. What a joy to see just how full of joy the people of the church are, Lord, for what you've done in their life, Lord. And as these people are hearing the gospel and responding to the gospel, is just a true joy to see the benefits of that, Father. And we are thankful to hear how they are seeking to reach out to the people around them and to share the gospel and to be missions-minded. And Lord, we do pray for our church, Lord, for the different generations in our church, Lord, that all of us, Lord, would have a passion to pray for missions, Lord, to pray that you would raise up laborers to go into the harvest. Lord, a passion that you would strengthen and encourage the missionaries that we support and the missionaries all around the world. Lord, that you just come alongside them and encourage them and help them. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing through them, Father. And Lord, we do pray that you would help us to give and to pray and then to be willing to go, whether on a short-term trip or to give our lives to go and to serve you on the mission field, Lord. May you just work in hearts and lives. May you make it clear in our hearts and our lives what you would have us to do. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for what you're doing in our life today. In Jesus' name, amen.